Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another Norman Night, coming to you live again from Bowie, Maryland. I hope you're out there listening. I know it's been a while, but I am back in full swing now. I got the knack of the new studio, and I am ready to bring you Norman Night in all of its former glory. The fat left-hander has been losing some weight, so maybe I'm not as fat as I used to be, but I'm just as lefty. If you want to give me a call, you know the number, 347-945-6713. I'm right back to the simplest of technical aspects. I got a computer running Linux. I got a phone. And just like the old days from when Norman and I came to you out in Wakefield, Virginia. I'm waiting for my coffee to come out of the microwave, and then it'll be full force. What are we going to talk about tonight? Well, that's a real good question. First, some shout-outs. I don't know if anybody's out there listening, but a shout-out, first of all, to my good friend, Anil, who hopefully tonight somehow figured out how to tune in to Norm at Night. I got the coffee. The show is full speed ahead. A shout-out to all my new friends at the Academy. Yes, I'm teaching school. They can't keep me out of the classroom. I'm at a new school, much closer to home, which puts me in a much better mood than I'm usually in. If any of you are out there listening from CCA, my best wishes to you. One more day in September, and then we'll be into October, which is the 10th month, even though its name says it should be the 8th. But then, of course, we added those 2 months to the calendar for the two Roman emperors, Julius and August. What are we going to talk about tonight? Well, of course, there's the war. It's the only thing that seems to be, it is the only thing that should be on everybody's mind. Everybody's mind but the Congress. American aircraft are flying regular sorties in Iraq. This nightmare is never going to end. We've been fighting there since 2000. My God, that's 2001, 2002, I don't know. It's about 12 years. It's a nightmare. You know, my president, the peace president, yeah, piece of this and a piece of that. There's no way we should be involved in this war. But, of course, when the oil barons speak, American warplanes fly. Sorry, I had to wet my whistle there with the last of my iced tea. So why doesn't somebody give me a call? 347-945-6713, and I'd love to talk with you. How about that Speaker Boehner, the son of a bum? He won't call the Congress back into session. Nobody wants to mess with it. Nobody. You know, and I keep hearing all this stuff. The chat room's open. Nobody's in it, however. Remember, if you're out there listening, you want to enter the chat room, think you got to sign up on Blog Talk Radio, but that's no big deal. I'm hoping that even though I've been sort of off the beaten track. I'm hoping I'll get a call from the West Coast. But Speaker of the House, Boehner, he won't call the House back into session. This war needs to be discussed. The money we spend needs to be discussed. The pilots, their commitment, the use of the fleet, it's not going to be all one way. But that's not even the real reason. We need to be out of the region. There's no reason for the United States of America to be out there in the Middle East. We're in Iraq for 10 years. What did we accomplish? Nothing. It's a sectarian civil war. My God, when are we going to understand that we really have nothing to do with a sectarian civil war? But, of course, when the oil barons speak, America jumps. You know, oh, so we bring our hands, and oh, we do this, and oh, we do that. Should we bring the tar sands from Canada? Well, there's oil in the Middle East. There's a lot of important people in America that must have an interest in it. You know what? If bringing the oil from Canada gets us out of the Middle East, bring the oil from Canada. We're supposed to be, by 2020, the largest oil producer in the world. So what do we need the God-blessed Middle East for? Let them fight with each other. Let them kill each other. Not that I want anyone to die. But why should we be fighting there? Why should we be fighting this indigenous movement called ISIS or ISIL? Just as they have no right to tell us how to live here in the United States of America, we don't have any right to tell them how to live. Just leave the place. If they want to sell us something, they'll talk to us. Oh, boy. It is so much fun to be back here on the air. I'm working pretty hard, but, you know, it's always worth it. But I'm going to be here for another 52 minutes, so please give me a call. 347-945-6713. Let's see what else is in the news. The war. How many of you have written to your senator? How many of you have written to your congressman? I am very confused about why the Congress isn't moving on this. The American people don't want war. It's that simple. When the people speak, I thought we're supposed to listen. The American people don't want war. It just seems obvious to me. But no matter what the American people want, we don't seem to get what we want. Can someone explain to me why in a people's democracy that doesn't happen? Unless, of course, we're really not a democracy. That's really interesting. Hey, you know, I just noticed something, that there's giant protests taking place in Hong Kong. They're having a real problem. All kinds of people in Hong Kong are protesting to demand democracy. Oh, what does that mean? Why what's happening in Hong Kong matters? Let's see this. Remember now, Hong Kong was the crown colony of Great Britain that was returned to China about 15 years ago, 1999, I think. Remember, Hong Kong is a financial center. In fact, it's probably Asia's most prominent financial center. And some people are calling this the biggest challenge to the communist rulers in Beijing since 1989 with the Tiananmen Square protests. The police are firing tear gas, trying to disperse the crowds. I guess they're in contact with the police in Ferguson, Missouri. The Chinese apparently are trying to limit who Hong Kongers can elect in their next election. Apparently, there seems to be a giant struggle for freedom and democracy in China. And, God, there's 7 million people in Hong Kong. Now, Hong Kong, if you remember right, is a former British colony, and it's mostly islands and a strip of coast near the Pearl River Delta. Actually, the territory went over from Great Britain to China in 1997. Hong Kong originally was a special administrative region, and I guess it was because of the money, but and the bank, you know, was centered in Hong Kong, but the city itself and the people who lived there were granted freedom better than most of mainland China. The city maintains, it's really interesting. It's almost autonomous. It has its own immigration policy, its own police force, its own courts and laws. And the Chinese promised the British that Hong Kong would be permitted a high degree of autonomy for nearly 50 years. This is interesting. I didn't really expect to talk about this tonight, but I'm learning a lot of stuff here. Hong Kong apparently has stayed much like it was before it was handed back to China. They've let them have a long leash, according to this article in the Post. Actually, in Hong Kong, they celebrate the Tiananmen Square protest every year with mass vigils and marches. In case anybody forgets, the Tiananmen Square incident was when students in China were protesting and the Chinese army moved into the square and simply obliterated people. The people in Hong Kong seem to have freedom of the press and assembly. It has great, the city still gets great marks for freedom of the press and assembly. It's protection of human rights. And it seems now the Kongers, or the Hong Kongers as they're called, are becoming increasingly concerned with China's long shadow and that Beijing will go after those freedoms and dismantle the one country, two systems model. Apparently, there's a large attack on Hong Kong's freedom of speech going on. And there's an influx and influence of mainlanders in the territory. I guess many of the people who came there were Chinese who fled communist rule. Now it's really interesting. I guess the mayor of Hong Kong was, let me see if anybody's come on and to talk to us. No, nobody's come into the chat room. That's really sad, and nobody is, nobody's calling in, but I want to go back and look at this Hong Kong issue some more. It seems that Hong Kong's leader, he's not called the mayor, he's called the chief executive. The only people who can run for chief executive are on a list that has been vetted by the Chinese authorities. And so the protest, it's really interesting. It reminds me a lot of the Wall Street protesters. Actually, I did some research in China, and apparently it's a lot easier to go from the lowest levels of society in China to the highest. In fact, much easier than it is to do the same thing in the United States. And of course, people don't like to hear that. The protest, they call it Occupy Central Hong Kong. It says here in the Post, it seems to be an equivalent of the U.S. Occupy Wall Street movement. They're also complaining about the city's business elites as much as they are talking about protests against Beijing. Oh, my God, a 17-year-old student was leading these protests, and he was arrested last Friday. The protesters, well, first of all, they want the current executive, some guy named Leung Chun-ying, to resign. And they want what they call free and direct elections. Everybody's going to be peaceful, and we're going to have peaceful civil disobedience. Well, you know what? Nothing ever changes with peaceful disobedience. I'm sorry. But these protesters apparently are peaceful. School kids are still doing their homework, only in China. They keep off the grass if the signs say keep it off the grass. So all these protests are going on in Hong Kong. Well, what are the guys in Beijing doing about it? How are they responding? Well, they block social media sites, of course. They condemn unlawful taking over buildings. And, of course, it's always foreign provocateurs that are guiding radicals and mobilizing in the streets. The chief executive has called the protest illegal. And he's urged Hong Kongers to engage in rational dialogue with their local government. What's going to happen next? Always a good question. This is a great article in the Washington Post. You know, sometimes you read missing or reading the newspaper, you miss it. You really do. The question is, of course, how far can you push the Chinese government before there is trouble? I don't know the answer to that. I'm still waiting for somebody to give me a call, 347-945-6713. We're approaching the halfway point in this show, and I really want a caller, or at least somebody to come into the chat room and chat with me. But, you know, who am I to blame anybody, you know? It's been quite a while since I've been here. But I'm here now, and I'd love to talk to you. Now's a real easy time to get into the show, too, because there's not much activity in this 10-minute segment, and hopefully you could have, you have all the time you want, so give me a call, 347-945-6713. Oh, that's what that is. Just a little advertisement here. You know, if you got nothing to do on a Thursday night, you can head on down to the Zoo Bar right across from the National Zoo on Thursday nights for the Blues Jam hosted by the Big Boy Little Band. I highly recommend it, and I love it myself. And maybe I'll try to go down this Friday. I think I would like that a lot. We'll see what's going on. It will be a very interesting day. And, of course, this coming weekend will be the first Saturday of the month, which is also the regular date for the Big Boy Little Band to play at the Zoo Bar as a regular Saturday night band, not a jam, but a play date. And as much as we miss Matt Kelly, who was the fantastic guitar player for the Big Boy Little Band, I've heard the band with now regular guitarist Baby Jake, and he is quite good, actually, himself. Maybe, who knows? You know, how do you decide who's a better guitar player? Baby Jake is very, very good. He's just sometimes, I don't know. He gets a little pretentious. But that's okay. He can play. And when he gets those hands close together, my God, the blues just scream. So good luck, Baby Jake. And looks like the Big Boy Little Band won't skip a beat without Matt Kelly. And I miss Matt, and I hope he makes some trips back. But let's go forward, Big Boy Little. And, I've almost done the first half hour. If you want to give me a call, 347-945-6713. And I will be back in the, I'm back in the game. What else did I say we were going to talk about tonight? Let's see what's trending on Twitter. You know, Clay Shirky, he wrote Here Comes Everybody, which is a great book, which I highly recommend. But I was just reading an article tonight how he's, what's the word I'm looking for, forbidden students to use digital devices in their classroom, in his classroom when he's teaching at NYU. And that really kind of distresses me, but apparently the research is showing that multitasking has really proven to be, you know, that you don't do very good stuff at any of the stuff you're multitasking with. I'm afraid I have been trying my best to think of some ways that multitasking isn't the way. See, I think we're making a big mistake that we still just go on with the lecture in the way that it's always been offered, and that somehow that was going to be more interesting than these digital devices. Well, the fact is, it's not more interesting. And if you could deliver the lecture over the digital devices, somehow it might be even better. I'm trying to figure out a way not to coexist with the digital devices in a traditional classroom, because that's just like putting new frosting on a stale cake, or in other words, the old school paradigm. And I find it a little sad. Well, I'm trying to figure out a way to make the cell phone an integral part of what goes on in the learning environment. I've been doing some very interesting things, mostly using the cell phone as kind of assistant or question answer, if you would, and what some kind of what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, but just some kind of answer of factual questions, and have the actually create the lesson, and then using, in the moment, using cell phones to answer the questions that come up in the dialogue that's taking place between teachers and learners. And, oh my God, here's something. If you're looking to date people who don't watch Fox News, try datingliberals.com. Well, go out there and give it a shot. I gotta go see what this is like. Datingliberals.com. We match your passions for creating a more loving, compassionate world with others who share them. Isn't that nice? Well, my buddy Peace, if you're out there listening, well, first of all, go to datingliberals.com. I'm sure you'll like it. I know that you've had some great, successful experiences with dating of late, and it proves it's never over till it's over. I'm very happy for you. Let's see. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. There's no good. Everything sort of died in the tech environment, nobody's trying to figure out new ways to use this stuff. They're just trying to protect themselves and their current organization of schools. It's the counter-revolution that was bound to come, and we just have to fight it off. The new Stalin has come to it's come to the Froyan comparing schools to the new Stalin. Actually, that's not a fair comparison, and I should really stop it. But we're under 30 minutes now. We're in the second half hour. Still haven't gotten a lot of phone calls. 240-461-0490. And you can talk to the Rush Limbaugh on the left. That's me, the fat left-hander. I would love to speak with you. Let's move to another topic because, we got 28 minutes left. Interesting discussion that we were having in school was what happened in Puritan New England when the Pilgrims understood that, or at least according to what we were reading today, that their communal idea of farming, which they introduced when they first got off the Mayflower, didn't seem to work because it didn't seem to be fair to the people who did most of the work. And justice demanded that the people who did the most work should get the most stuff. So what do you think of that? I guess it's the beginning of the argument between the individual and individual reward and the society and societal reward. I mean, are we our brother's keepers or are we not our brother's keepers? If I'm born with more talent, is your life still worthy of my efforts to help keep you alive? It's an eternal question that we could debate for hours and hours here in Norm at Night. I just wish somebody'd come on. And we could indeed have that discussion. We're now approaching the 25-minute mark, or I guess you would say the 35 minutes elapsed, 25 minutes to go. I'm running out of things to say. I mean, that should become apparent. I need another individual to bounce off of. I haven't done anything too radical tonight. I'm trying to see what's going on in the Twitter world. I don't know. I guess I'm just a failed disciple of Ivan Lendl again, and Ivan, I can't think of his last name now. Unbelievable. I want to say Ivan Lensky, but that's not it. There's Tamron Hall. I really don't like her. I don't know 100% why. I guess it's because I just have a issue with her genuineness. She's on a MSNBC show at 11 o'clock in the morning. She used to be on at 2 in the afternoon. Now she's moved to 11 o'clock in the morning. I do not care for her. But that's okay. She's got the big job. I'm here coming to you live from Bowie, Maryland. And as much as I make jokes about that, I really do find it, liberating in some sense to be the great wacko that I have always been. And, oh, I don't know. There's just a few minutes left in the show this week. I might stop a little soon if no one comes to help me. Let's see what else is interesting that we can talk about in the Washington Post today. Here we go. There's the front page. You know what, though? Who really gives a damn about the guy who got into the White House? I'm really weary of that. excuse me. D.C. charter schools seem to be failing. Jim Webb, the former senator from Virginia, is taking on the party. Let's get this right out. You know, the presidential election, is coming up in 2016. I am not a Hillary Clinton fan. I do not want Hillary Clinton to become president of the United States. I'm sick of Clintons. I'm sick of Bushes. We need somebody new. And who's a little better at the job than Barack Obama apparently has proven to be. I think, well, we all know that Norman Knight thinks we blew it on health care. We should be single pay, and we're not. God, even the Washington Post is going back to the e-replica edition. That's really kind of sad. Oh, here's an article. This one should really tickle my fancy. DC creative class and where they want to live. Because let's face it, folks, if you're poor, you really don't have any choice about where you're going to live. You end up taking whatever's left over. If the wealthy want to live on the waterfront, the poor are driven away. If the professionals want to live close to a subway, the poor are pushed away. If upper-class college graduates want to live downtown, as they're increasingly doing in many big cities, the poor are priced out to the periphery. It seems that so some guy named Richard Florida, who coined the term creative class, is talking about, what's going on in D.C. and how what's happening here. The last census and what it's saying about D.C. First of all, now, apparently, workers are divided into three classes of people. The creative class are the knowledge workers, the thinkers, as my wife would say. Carol, you got that down. The thinkers, they make up about, actually, nowadays, a third of the U.S. workforce. There are people mostly in advertising, business, education, the arts, etc. So I guess I'm one of that creative class. Then there's the service class. These are people in retail and food service, clerical jobs. And the working class, where blue-collar jobs are and have also been disappearing over the last 10 or 15 years. If you look at, here we go. I'm looking at a map now of Washington, D.C. This is a great map. You can find it in the Washington Post in this article. And, well, Georgetown is just all of these creative class people. Actually, I'm not sure why there is, you know, it doesn't appear there's any working class people left in the district of Columbia. They've all been driven out, you know, for stadiums and all that other kind of baloney. Or the service class work. Anacostia is now filled with service class workers. Isn't that something? I guess they're working on that big baseball team. Oh, by the way, congratulations to the Washington Nationals. They're going to start their drive to the World Series on Friday against the Detroit Tigers. The Super Line stations are now open on the subway. I really haven't looked much into the Silver Line. I have never taken one of its trains, that's for sure. I'm back to the front page of the Washington Post. Let's see if I got any late callers. And, hey, guest 4776, I'm glad you could log into the chat room. We're having a pretty good night here tonight. Why don't you give us a call at 347-945-6713. Norman Knight is back on the air. I got about 15 minutes. Or actually 16 minutes to go before the show grinds to a halt. And I'd love to have somebody to bounce off what they're thinking with me and what I'm thinking. I hope that I'm going to get a call from that guest, but I'm not 100% sure. I may wait around here for a couple of minutes. I'm hoping that's my buddy on the West Coast, but we'll see, we'll see. My head, I'm getting a little bit of a headache. Sometimes that happens, especially when you got no callers, because you just hear your voice rattling around in your own head, and it makes you sound unless you have no brains. But, hey, 4843's logged in. Welcome, 4843. You got something to say about some of the stuff we've been talking about tonight? Write it in the chat room and I'll relay it to the air. Or you can grab your cell phone and dial 347-945-6713 and talk to the left-hander yourself. I'm really very pooped because I'm working really hard and I'm enjoying it. And we'll see what happens. I don't know, somehow I got to write some lesson plans yet. I don't know what we'll do tomorrow. I just know that in composition, we're going to do some writing. I do like writing. And we're going to look at some poetry, I hope. I know we're going to do that in AP. That class has grown to a very large size. but I'm glad 48, 43's logged in and it stayed. If you have anything you would like to add to what we're talking about, 347-945-6713, if you want to add it in person. We're under 15 minutes now to the end of the show, so it's pretty clear we're going to go all the way. But I would love someone to just bounce some ideas off of with, because I've sent some pretty outrageous things tonight to some people. They're not to me, but then I don't see the world quite in the same way as other people do. But I am feeling very good about being here and, you know, doing Norm at Night. It's really pretty exciting. But then everybody knows I love to talk. I hope we don't get inside 10 minutes without a caller, but it looks like that is going to happen because we're about to go into the 12th or 13th. I'm going backwards. I always get like a difficulty. We'll be in the 12th minute. That's all I know. And hopefully we're going backwards so that we can just keep piling things up. Anyway, back to the interesting things. I really would like to just set idea that we were thrown around in government class today. We had a real interesting proposal. I suggested to the people that everybody work on all the class assignments and everything together, and then when we have an assessment, we find the average class grade and just give that to everybody in the class. And somehow, I guess everybody thinks they're going to get 100, and so they don't want to share the wealth. But anyway, I said we'll give everybody the whatchamachinger, we'll give everybody the class average, and that didn't go over very well at all. Much like the Puritans after they first came here, as we were talking about earlier, originally they started communal farms where everybody shared, but apparently everybody didn't do the same work, so everybody was upset with those people. We will be going under the 10-minute mark in about 80 seconds, so why don't you get up here, take out your cell phones, flip them open. Yeah, I guess I'm the only guy still got a flip phone. But open those cell phones or dial those cell phones, 347-945-6713. I'm really kind of sad that in the redesign of this dashboard that Black Talk Radio took off the phone line to call somebody rather than just let them call in. That's really kind of sad. I thought that was a great, great feature. But it apparently seems to be gone now. What does this promote say? Well, I don't know what happens when you click that. Okay. I'm a good enough time up here. And we are now under 10 minutes. So if you got something you want to say, 347-945-6713 is the number. I'm going back to the Washington Post for a while. Let's see what's happening in the Washington Post. We talked about the protest in Beijing. I wouldn't, Donna Edwards, the next Pelosi. Oh my God. Is the Maryland Democrat, Donna Edwards, going to become a leadership post herself? Anything's possible, I guess. Anything's possible. Let's go see what this is all about. Donna Edwards wants women to follow her into politics. All of our women went down from school, went down to Capitol Hill this past Friday to meet with, I didn't realize, I thought Donna Edwards was much, much younger than she is. She just had her 55th birthday. That's pretty amazing. She was at Watkins Park in Upper Marlboro. I guess that's right next to Bowie. She sure doesn't look 55 in that picture. Anyway, she has this party in Watkins Park. She invites Nancy Pelosi to come to it. Edwards fixes her own, her own electronic stuff. Edwards beat a sitting congressman in a primary. And she's all Democrats. You know, that's one really interesting thing, how women have changed their role from baby maker to chief breadwinner, and that's really kind of interesting. I sometimes wonder, I don't know. There's just about 6.5 minutes left in today's show, so if you got something you want to talk about, you just give us a call. I'll say it once more, 347-945-6713. This is really hard when you got no one to talk to because I'm really out of things to say. Who am I trying to kid? I'm sure there is... I didn't read it. So Donna Edwards... She covers much of Prince George's County and a piece of Anne Arundel. She's really big on getting women to run for office. Now that we're in the post-industrial era, I guess women can do more of that. Our problem is now population increase, not... are we seeking population increase? Oh, my God. She wants women to Ms. Edwards wants women to reinvent themselves. What the heck is that supposed to be? She's been pretty active for her 6 years so far in the Congress, and she'll probably... just walk away with the election this year. She's become a pretty, yeah, she does. She's on MSNBC all the time. She went on the national bus tour with Nancy Pelosi. She actually organized the whole part of the national bus tour. Pelosi, pilot on the Italian platitudes. No question about it. Pelosi can connect with a crowd, and so can Congresswoman Edwards. Pelosi's ready to leave the national stage. I guess Edwards will step in, but keep in mind, Pelosi is only 74, which isn't that old for a congressperson. So Nancy Pelosi is exactly 10 years older than I am. That's interesting. The National Journal talking about the Democratic bench, who's there to take over from Pelosi and what's his name? What's Steny Hoyer? Anyway, so that's a real interesting development. Now, let's check into Edwards' life. First of all, she's in a district where I don't know if a Democrat will ever lose. And her compelling life story. Father was military. She bounced from school to school like all other military kids. Some people say that helps you in protest life. So that's a pretty good idea, too. Let's see here. We still only have one guest. We got 2 minutes to go. 2 minutes, and I'm not even going to tell you to call it anymore. Let me just sum it up. Mr. President, stop the war. Congress, convene. Stop the president from fighting the war if he won't do it. Demand your congressional rights. Don't let him upstage you. You know, he sounds more and more like the president that people were afraid of when we started talking about having the Constitution in the first place. Let's make school more of a community effort so everyone shares in the learning rather than competes for the learning. Hallelujah, as they say. All the people in the chat room, please, thank you for logging in. And in this last minute, why don't we log out? And I don't really have too much more to say. So don't forget the Zubar, Big Boy Little Band, Thursday nights. And this Saturday, he'll be playing a regular show at the zoo. And so that's always a good thing. And remember, if you're a zoo regular, 2 weeks ago, they moved the start of weekend music back, or I don't know, up, back, however you want to look at it. But it moved from starting at 10 o'clock to starting at 9 o'clock. And we're in the last 10 seconds, so this is Norm at Night coming to you live on another Monday night from Bowie, Maryland. And all I can say to you is, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. And Norm at Night is out.